It is the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. I'm coming to you live from Atlanta, Georgia. Thank you to our super producer and host, Ryan Hickey, holding it down for us in New York City. The show gets started every single weekday, 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific. You can always listen on the free Odyssey app, your local Infinity Sports Network affiliate, SiriusXM channel 158, and a smart speaker if you got it. Ask the speaker to play the Infinity Sports Network. What a day, what a day. Unfortunately, we learned about the passing of an NBA legend, Dikembe Mutombo, at the age of 58 this morning. And it was about an hour ago that we learned via TMZ and verified via his agent that Pete Rose has also passed away today at the age of 83. The all-time hit king has passed away in Las Vegas. This is the JR Sport Brief Show. We'll be hanging out with you here for two more hours. Obviously, we have some Monday Night Football action that is wrapping up week four of the NFL season. The Tennessee Titans and Miami Dolphins are underway. Will Levis is no longer in the game. It's appeared to exit via a shoulder injury. And now we have Mason Rudolph, who has taken over. And so we know there's no Tua Tagovailoa. And so this Monday Night Football matchup between the Dolphins and the Titans, I don't want to say it's devolved, but we have Mason Rudolph out there opposite Tyler Huntley. We also will have, because this is a Monday Night Football doubleheader, we'll have the Detroit Lions taking on the Seattle Seahawks. The Seattle Seahawks have pretty much owned the Lions over the past several years, wiping them clear out. I want to say 9 out of 10. Now, Seattle has won 6 straight meetings and 9 out of the last 10 against the Lions. So Dan Campbell and crew looking to turn things around at home. And I'm going to give the Lions the edge there. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. You know, in talking about Pete Rose, we laid out how great he was, how hard he worked as a ball player, all of his accomplishments, his World Series, his hits. He has more hits than anyone who's ever played the game, a 17-time All-Star. But then ultimately, we know in 1989, he was charged with gambling on games he managed and played in. You know, in 2004, he ultimately admitted that he did. And he has spent the past several years, you see him at autograph signings and, you know, out in Vegas and the casinos, putting his name and being an advocate for himself without, you know, going too far over the edge. You know, he recently spoke about whether or not he believed that he would get in, and he didn't sound too confident. Both Hickey and I believe at some point he will get into the Hall of Fame. I just don't find it to be anytime soon. 855-212-4227. I'm going to get to some of your calls. And then I also do want to talk about Dikembe Mutombo and the legacy that he left, and not just what he did on the basketball court. Joel Embiid spoke today as well of the Philadelphia 76ers. Although we can look at Joel Embiid coming from a different country in Cameroon and Dikembe Mutombo being from the Congo, just certainly an appreciation coming from the African continent. So we'll talk about that. But let's get to the phone calls right now. 855-212-4227. It's 855-212-4227. Matt is here from Florida. You're on the JR Sport Brief Show.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I really appreciate it. You know, I was a kid when the Big Red Machine was winning championships, and I remember that team like it was yesterday. And, you know, baseball over the years for me has really waned with all the strikes and canceling championship series and all that stuff. I think baseball has done a really good job of embarrassing itself over the last couple of decades. But I got to tell you, I think that it's the single most shameful thing that ever happened in baseball was when Bart Giamatti lied to Pete Rose, or at least misled him, and said, look, you sign this paper that says you're banned for life, but I'm going to let you apply for reinstatement. So Pete signed that thinking that he was going to have an opportunity to get reinstated, when all along Bart Giamatti knew that he would never allow him to be reinstated. And that's just exactly what happened. So I think the baseball writers are indicative of of a bunch of mad people. Most of these guys, the vast majority of them, have never played sports. And the closest they ever got to a jock strap is the one that somebody snapped in their face in high school in the hallway to make fun of them. These are guys that never played the game. They don't understand what it takes, to the commitment level that it takes to be a 17-time All-Star, the commitment that it takes to lead the league in hits forever, and to win championships at all levels. They don't understand it. So to them, it's a simple matter. All they get to do is flex a little muscle and keep the greatest baseball player that ever lived out of the Hall of Fame. And I think it's shameful.
Well, thank you, Matt, for calling from Florida. You know, unfortunately, It's not so much the commissioner works for the owners. The owners care about one thing. That's the bottom line. That is what it is. So it has nothing to do with who played and who didn't play. And every now and then, and there's different levels to this. You know, today we learned that Buster Posey is now going to be running the San Francisco Giants. And we know he's one of the greatest catchers that we've ever seen. And now he's going to be out there running a baseball team. We can look up and down professional sports. We have John Lynch, also one of the greatest dudes that will kind of clear you out. This man is running the 49ers. So we have a history. I mean, and I get it. It's the opposite. It's the Players Association. We got Tony Clark, who's on the other side of the table in most cases with Rob Manfred. But the reality is, it doesn't matter who has on the suit and or the tie. They work for the owners. And we can go on down a very, very long list of how baseball, I will agree with you wholeheartedly, how baseball has embarrassed itself. It was just last week that in our segment, This Day in Sports History, we went on down the line of Mark McGwire going out there and knocking down 70 home runs, and Sammy Sosa not being too far behind him, and everybody ate that up. But Selig ate that up. Like there was no problem, because people were falling in love with baseball again outside of the lockout, and fans were coming back, and it was watching superheroes crack the baseball. And then it's just like, oh, they were on drugs. Okay. Well, now we got to punish those guys. And then you had more recent stars. Oh, Alex Rodriguez ended up being on drugs. And then the game slowed down. It just, when you got a game as old as baseball, everything has to catch up, right? Everything has to evolve. Things have to change, except for them. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. But one thing's for sure, they're always going to worry about the money first. Charlie, he's calling from Queens. You're on the JR Sport Brief Show, coast to coast. What's going on, Charlie?
Hello, JR. I'm happy if you're an Atlanta Braves fan for what just happened. I just saw the score you're in.
No, I'm not an Atlanta Braves fan, not at all.
But I called about the Pete Rose thing, but just real quick about Mutombo. He is a great ambassador for the sport, or any sport. A great human being beyond sports.
No, without a shadow of a doubt. I'm going to share, you know, my own story of Dikembe Mutombo. He was absolutely an amazing human being.
But the thing with Pete Rose, since he passed, and with all the things that happened, and the guy before with the whole thing with Bart Giamani, the reason he reneged allegedly on the deal was Pete Rose lied to him. When he signed the agreement, people who knew the commissioner at the time said, if you lie to me, it will not go through. Pete lied. So for him to act like he's innocent, I'm sorry, but for that, yeah, that at that time, he couldn't come back.
Yeah, and he didn't initially admit until almost 20, I know, wow, time flies, feels like yesterday. It was 2004 when Pete Rose fully admitted.
15 years
what he
after
did.
The fact, and still, but I do believe the man deserves to be in the Hall of Fame. I don't. In a way, him passing is a good thing in the sense that I think they're going to move it up a little bit. I think within the next 5 years it'll happen. But you know, he did this to himself. Grown man knew it's the first rule. It was like, you know, when you walk into the clubhouse, you don't gamble on the game.
Oh, the signs are placed. If you walk through a stadium, the signs are placed everywhere surrounding the locker room. When you walk in, when you open the door, when you close the door, the signs are on every door. Very clear.
Because I remember, you know, I'm a Yankee fan, but I remember looking up, and like one of the first things in bold thing is you don't gamble on the game. No. So for him to do that, that's his bad.
Yeah, well, you know what? He's not here anymore, but I don't think I've ever heard him take the approach of blaming anybody else.
Yeah.
And I agree. We'll see him get in. I don't know if it's going to be 5 years. Because here's the other element. I do think if you're Major League Baseball, there's a line to walk in regards to sensitivity. A, to him, you don't want to come across as, oh, he's dead, let's put him in. And then you also don't want to kind of say, okay, well, he's gone now. And so, yeah, you too, if you're great, you can bet. Hey, Alex Rodriguez, you got, granted, you know, he was never, you know, suspended forever, kicked out of the league completely. But for some of these other players and guys who are younger, I don't think you want to open up Pandora's box to, well, don't worry about it. You know, you can do a little bit of something and make your money, and then, you know, we'll take care of you after you're gone. Not that I think anybody, you know, wants to think about, you know, what they're honored with after they're gone. But it's a real delicate line, especially the relationship between every sport, including baseball and gambling. Things have certainly changed over the past, I can't even go 10 years. I'd say, you know, 3 to 5 years when it comes to the ability for people just to pick up the phone and, you know, place a bet depending on where you live. So, hey, Charlie,
yeah,
thank you for calling from Queens.
All right. Have a good night.
You as well.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Yeah, it's a tricky, tricky, tricky one. Wow. Picky today, man. What, the morning and with Dikembe, the afternoon or evening with Pete Rose.
Sad day.
Yeah, you can't. Hey, we can plan all the football, the stuff we want. These are the things that you just ain't no predicting these things, man. None at all. And so even this morning with Dikembe Mutombo passing away at 58 with brain cancer, I remember I was talking to someone from the Atlanta Hawks last year. Dikembe Mutombo was very visible here in Atlanta. He was very visible in the community. If you went to a basketball game or an event or you were in the arena, like, you could spot him walking around. You know, it's not difficult to spot a dude 7'1", 7'2", just kind of walking around. Oh, well-dressed, suits were tailored, was not shy to walk up and down and around through the concourses, wasn't trying to hide from anybody. He was a man of the people. He was just cool as hell and a nice, nice man. I met Dikembe Mutombo for the first time, I want to say almost 10 years ago in Los Angeles. He was being an advocate for the Doha Games, which I think allows individuals with intellectual disabilities to play in sports. And so I don't even know what I stood up on. Hickey, I don't know what I stood on. I think I stood on a stage and then he stood on the ground. And so I could get a good interview with him and get in frame without having to hold my arm up. And he was just cool as hell. And then knowing everything that he did from building hospitals back home in the Congo, and he was just a good human. And you can't tell people what to do with their money. It's their money, what they do. But he was someone who made what he made in life and wanted to give back to people who didn't have anything. And that's admirable. You know, we'd be a much better world if people gave a damn just about other people and not just themselves. And that's what made him so awesome, man. It's a real loss. So for years, a couple of years, it's like, hey, how's Dikembe? Man, we don't know. We haven't heard anything. And, you know, we learned a few years ago he had a tumor. And then, you know, today we learned he passed away due to brain cancer, but he left one hell of a legacy, and he left a lot that help people. Like, they are people who are living and breathing today because of money that he invested to build hospitals. He's like, what else could you possibly do as a human? He was just awesome, man. And that goes just really beyond even the basketball court. I just talked about that Kemba Mutombo didn't even get into anything that he did. Four-time defensive player of the year, eight-time all-star, none of that. Like, it's really him as a human. And then earlier today, Joel Embiid, who happens to be from Cameroon, a totally separate country in Africa, Joel Embiid, during Sixers Media Day, he talked about just Dikembe Mutombo and what he meant. Take a listen to Embiid from earlier today.
It's a sad day, especially for us Africans and really the whole world, because, you know, other than what he's accomplished on the basketball court, I think he was even better on the off the court. You know, those are some of the guys. You know, he's one of the guys that I look up to as far as, you know, having an impact, not just on the on court, but off the court. He's done a lot of great things. He did a lot of great things, you know, for a lot of people. So, I mean, that's, you know, he was a role model of mine. So, yeah, like I said, it is a sad day.
A real, 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 real sad day. Pete Rose going at 83 years old, and Dikembe Mutombo passing as well at 58 years old. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on the Infinity Sports Network. The phone lines are still open if you want to give a holler. 855-212-4227. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll give you an update on this Monday night football matchup, at least the one that is already underway between Tennessee and Miami. And then we'll also kind of take a little bit of a walk and run through some of the other news that took place today as NBA teams had their media day. We saw LeBron James and his son in their Laker uniforms for the first time. Joel Embiid has some additional news outside of praising Dikembe Mutombo. And I don't know if this is news or not, but Ben Simmons has some news as well. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on the Infinity Sports Network. We'll be back on the other side, so don't you move.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on the Infinity Sports Network. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. Man, what a day, what a day, what a day, what a day. We talked about the passing of Pete Rose at 83. We talked about the passing of Dikembe Mutombo at 58 years old. And we just heard some words from Joel Embiid, who spoke passionately about Dikembe Mutombo being a fellow African. Well, we heard from a lot of NBA players today, because today was media day all across the league. And so we saw the Boston Celtics and the Denver Nuggets get things started last week, because they're going to be playing some games in Abu Dhabi at the end of the week. Of course, it's the NBA. It's a global game. Why not play, you know, some basketball in one of the wealthiest nations and countries on planet Earth? You want to spread the game? You want to find some fans with some cash? Not a bad way to go out there and do so. And so not only did we hear from, you know, Joel Embiid today praising Dikembe Mutombo. Hickey, do you know, not Dikembe, did you know Joel Embiid said he has lost? Let me get this number correct. I don't want to misquote the man, okay? I think it was about 15. Did he say 15 to 20 pounds? He said he lost something like that? What is this?
I thought it was 20 to 30.
Oh, my God. Let's see.
Maybe I'm giving him more credit than...
Oh, my God. Joel Embiid said he lost 25 or 30 pounds.
Wow.
One of the two. Not one or the other. 25 or 30. What do you even say? Is that going to help him stay healthy?
He thinks so. I don't know if that will, you know, help his bones that have been problematic, or his knees that have been unable to stay intact.
This man, if you look at some of his earlier seasons, like a lot of younger guys, he was lighter. Like he looked and not to say he's less mobile, but he still moves, and he's surprisingly nimble for his size. But he could stand to lose weight. I just hope it matters. I know they just gave him that big contract extension that takes him through, I think, 2028, 2029. Crazy that you can believe in Joel Embiid for that many years into his mid-30s. But, I mean, sheesh. And on the opposite, it's been reported that Victor Wembanyama has gained some weight. Like, Victor Wembanyama has put on some muscle, which shouldn't come as too much of a shock. But he says he has put on some weight here in the offseason as he's expected to catch lobs from Chris Paul. Victor Wembanyama gained 25 pounds from last season. Now, I get it. Hickey, this is, let's say, that's April, May, June, July. That's 5 months. That's not bad. Like, you can do that. 25 pounds in 5 months, world-class regimen, and you got all the great food available? That's possible, right?
Yeah, and that's pretty crazy if you think about it. I mean, yeah, that's still like, that's still a good amount of time, but still like, that's a lot of muscle to add on in a short amount of time here. I mean, I've went to the gym, I feel like, well, not every day, but try to go some days, and I feel like I've looked the same for years, so he's doing something I'm not.
Well, I mean, damn it, if you had, how much money you think he's making a year? 30? 40?
That's true. Yeah, he can afford some good chefs, maybe a better workout plan than I have.
I bet they're not going to go that far. I think he can afford his own chef. And I think he eats the best of food at the Spurs facility. So good on him. A lot of additional news today. We learned over the weekend that Karl Anthony Towns is being traded to the New York Knicks. The trade is not official. They're basically trying to make the money match up with certain players. And some guys are overseas and need to get released and bought out and what have you. And so the trade isn't final. We know the trade is going to go down, but the trade is not final. And so Karl Anthony Towns, one of the best shooters in the NBA, especially given his size at 7 feet tall, knocks down about 40% of his threes. And on a given year can average anywhere between 20 and 25 points a game. We know he's going to be sharing the basketball with Jalen Brunson, at least the scoring load. And so because the trade is not official, the players can't publicly speak about it. There can't be any tampering. And Karl Anthony Towns was already photographed in New York wearing a Knicks hat as he kind of walked into a car. I believe he was leaving the Knicks practice facility, but obviously he did not speak to anyone, not the public. Jalen Brunson, superstar for the New York Knicks, one of the top scorers in the NBA. He was asked about Karl Anthony Towns, and he didn't know who the hell Karl Anthony Towns was.
Say hi to Carl when you got here.
Excuse me?
You say hi to Carl when you got here.
Who's Carl? Don't know who that is. Don't know who that is.
And he doesn't know who he is. Josh Hart was asked about him, and for a while he said, I don't know who he is either, but he was asked about him fitting in the locker room.
He's a great dude, high character. I think he's good. I think someone like that with his high character would fit well.
No, I think so. I don't know about the character. Hickey, I hope he's just healthy. That's what I hope.
You know what I hope?
What is it?
This trade falls through.
You're not a fan.
Not a fan.
Oh, no. You'd rather have Julius Randle back with the New York Knicks?
Yes. Not that I'm a fan of Julius Randle either. That's.
But so what do you want? You picking your poison here? What's going on?
I'd rather have Julius Randle than Karl Anthony Towns.
Why?
I don't think Karl Anthony Towns is a winning player. To be honest, I think he's the fakest tough guy in the NBA. I actually really can't stand him.
I was going to say there's some elements of his game. Who put him in a headlock? Somebody put him in a headlock on it. Was that Joel Embiid?
He was tapping out. Oh, was it Jimmy Butler?
No, I don't think Jimmy Butler. Oh, my God. I remember that.
He was on the ground, and he was tapping. He was tapping out. So the size wasn't. Oh, I forget who it was. It may have been Draymond for all we know.
Whoa. Ben Simmons.
Wait, what? He was on the court?
Yeah. Ben Simmons had him in the choke. Yeah.
Wow.
Google it. Ben Simmons choking Karl Anthony Towns, yes.
Interesting.
Had him in the full, I can't even call that a full Nelson. Had him in the whole you know, bicep under the neck. You know, he had him in that one.
Yeah. A submission chokehold.
He did. He did. Yeah, I agree with you. There's some elements of Karl Anthony Towns where, you know, but I guess part of, is part of that a stigma? You have a 7-foot guy who is, come on, man. This is crazy how the NBA has evolved. We have a 7-foot-1 guy in Dikembe Mutombo who nobody was going to look at as any type of an offensive threat. He had a little hook that he could give you, layups and stuff like that, putbacks. But this man was blocking shots. He owned and controlled the paint. He rebounded like a madman, and then he gave an outlet pass to, you know, whoever needed the ball, whatever guard was right there. That was it. Karl Anthony Towns is the complete opposite of a big in 2024. Not that he's going to be versatile to play offense and defense, but he's knocking down threes and taking jump shots. And earlier in his career, he was grabbing rebounds and he was blocking shots. That's not what Karl Anthony Towns does anymore. But I think he'll work for the New York Knicks if he's healthy because he can shoot. He can certainly go off and be a ridiculous scoring option and threat. I don't think he's going to go out and dribble the ball as much as Julius Randle did. And so I think he is going to be a fit. I think he's also going to be a little bit more apt to kind of fitting into what the team is because he's going to be back home and he wants to make a good impression. Like Julius Randle had the ups and the downs. And then more recently, when playoff time came around, he either had a crap game or the past two seasons he was hurt. I think Karl Anthony Towns is a better fit here, Hickey.
I just think he's really soft, to be honest with you. And in the big moments, I think he shies away from them. Like, I think he's a fake tough guy where he talks a big game of, I want the smoke, I'm this great guy. And then when it comes down to playing big-time minutes and big-time basketball in these playoff games, he struggles and struggles pretty routinely. So does Julius Randle. So it's not like it's really kind of in a way you're just moving one problem for another and the styles are a little bit different. Right. Yes, Cat's not as big of a black hole as Randle can be. But at that point, that salary, I'd just rather keep it where it is than bring on a guy that I just don't think is truly making this team better.
The other element is that when it comes to Julius Randle, you would have had to pay him. And what are you paying him? Yeah, you're absorbing salary for Karl Anthony Towns. But he's more not dynamic in regards to, well, mostly I'd say in scoring. But he's a more dynamic player than Julius Randle. And I know he went off and it looks stupid at blowing the game last year. The guy's trying to score 70 and 80 points in a game. And it's just like, what are you doing? He's going to have a come to Jesus moment. There's no more hiding in Minnesota. Like, he's going to get eaten alive and people are going to tell him about his play, especially being back home in New York. I just think to have another 7-footer out there who can be a dynamic scorer, and when you think about the way the league is going, it's very, very clear. Jalen Brunson is the guy. Karl Anthony Towns is going to be tasked with helping to put up points. And on any given night after that, it's, hey, OG or Mikal Bridges, it's your turn. Who else has the hot hand? So I think it helps with kind of what you have. I think the Knicks, I think they got better. Marco, what are your thoughts on Karl Anthony Towns in this pending trade?
I think the Towns aspect is good. I think I agree with Hickey in the fact that he's soft, but offensively he's really going to help them. He's going to space the floor. Having a 7-footer, they can pull the other 7-footer away from the paint. Those are all good things. I got to be fair. I'm thrilled from a Knicks standpoint to get rid of Randle. That is a perfect fit to move Randle out and bring Towns in. My only disappointment is losing DiVincenzo, because that's the one thing the Knicks losing this whole thing is a sharpshooter. That's the one thing they don't have. They had a guy that could come off the bench and knock down a three at all times in the game, doesn't need the basketball at any point. He could drive it, but he is a guy that is going to hit consistently from behind the arc, and the Knicks now lost the one element that I feel like they're going to need in the playoffs. They don't have one guy that's going to consistently knock down threes at a rapid pace. Bridges can hit, Towns can hit, Brunson can hit. They got guys that can knock down threes, but not the guy that's going to space the floor where he's going to hit huge threes in big moments. That was DiVincenzo.
Yeah, we'll see. Karl Anthony Towns. Well, I mean, you think about if Randle was ever out there consistently, you know, he wasn't going to knock down the pace.
No.
At 40%. I also think it's a benefit because, hey, Karl Anthony Towns is 7 feet tall. And there ain't too many dudes running around at that height, you know, knocking those suckers down. So we'll see what the New York Knicks do. I'm happy. what they've done. They're one of the best teams in the East. They've continued to build off of that. And I think Knicks fans, they actually have optimism. It's actually good to talk about, oh, my God, they're all-stars on the Knicks. And, oh, man, they're actually expected to compete for something. I guess one thing that we should do is maybe keep, I don't know, Ben Simmons away from Karl Anthony Towns. I can't believe it was Ben Simmons who was out there choking him out. That was crazy.
Again, he is a bit soft defensively. They're going to lose a little something. But I don't think they lose something because of Randall. I think they lose something because they're trading basically Cat for Hartenstein, who was a little bit more, I mean, not overly intimidating, but he was a little bit better in the paint. So they're going to lose something on the defensive aspect, but they have so many guys that play defense. You hope that they can make up for that. And they're so tough in a lot of other spots that, you know, maybe Towns can step up his game, almost like a peer pressure type of thing. Not just Tibbs demanding it, but everybody else on the floor playing hard defensively kind of forces you to up your game a little bit. He's never going to be tough, but you're huge. So just stay there. Just stay put and just be a presence. And hopefully that could be something that can help out the defensive end. Like I said, I wonder if the Knicks can make one more move and get a 3-and-D guy, because that's the one thing that they're missing now. That's the one thing, that aspect that they lost with DiVincenzo.
Man, they got a lot of, they got two of them. They got Mikal Bridges there.
Yeah.
And then you also have another guy in Anunoby. You have McBride coming off the bench. I mean, I don't know how much more 3-and-D you get besides Anunoby and Mikal Bridges. It's just long dude shooting and playing defense.
I get, and the defensive aspect of it, 100%. And Bridges is better offensively than I think people give him credit. Same for OG. Mm-hmm. OG's actually got more game than just a 3-2. DiVincenzo was different, though. He was a sharp shooting three. It's different.
Oh, yeah.
It's a different element. It's a different animal. When you're in the playoffs and you need those threes to go down and everyone can drive and kick, and if DiVincenzo's open, bang. And that's the one thing that they're missing.
It'll law of averages. We'll see. Law of averages. We know who's going to take the big shots.
Mm-hmm.
I think the pecking order has been set there. Meanwhile, on the other side of New York in Brooklyn, the guy who decided to choke out Karl Anthony Towns, Ben Simmons, he sat down today during media day, and it sounded like he was offended about his future availability and whether he would be available for the Brooklyn Nets. And Ben Simmons had the nerve and temerity to say, hey, folks, when I'm healthy, I'm actually good at basketball. Listen to this.
I think people forget, you know, me as a player when I'm healthy. You know, I could play basketball. I'm pretty good, right? So for me, it's just being consistent with that and staying on top of my body and just getting better every day and staying in the gym with these guys.
So am I missing something? Was Ben Simmons not healthy when he was afraid to go to the basket? Was Ben Simmons not fully healthy when he was afraid that Trae Young would foul him and send him to the free throw line? Was he not healthy when he didn't want to take a jump shot? Like, what part of any of that has to do with health? It's like there's a whole mental block for Ben Simmons. That is probably one of the craziest things I've heard all day when it comes to the media availability for all of the players. That Ben Simmons says, yeah, when I'm healthy, I'm pretty good. Well, go out there and show us. And I guess because you're in a contract year, you are going to go out there and show us because you want to get paid. You don't want to get sent out to, I don't know, basketball Siberia. Let's see what Ben Simmons can do for the Brooklyn Nets. This guy's going to try and play like an all-star just to go ahead and get the check. There's a reason why last week, Hickey, he was on the list. He's on the list of top six crooks in professional sports. And let's see what sucker is going to line up to get robbed for him. Next year, Ben Simmons. Everybody is losing weight and gaining weight, and Ben Simmons is like, yeah, when I'm healthy, I'm actually good. Not so fast. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on the Infinity Sports Network, 855-212-4227.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you, coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. We got some updates here on Monday Night Football. Neither one are attractive. It's terrible. The Lions are beating up on the Seahawks right now. A couple minutes have gone by in the second. The Lions are winning 14-0 against Seattle. Meanwhile, they're under 2 minutes here in Miami, and the Titans lead the Dolphins 6-3. Will Levis knocked out of the game with a shoulder injury. He was diving for a first down earlier in the game. Will Levis, typically, I guess normally, he went out there and threw an interception as well. And so we all have the pleasure of watching Mason Rudolph. Meanwhile, on the other side from Miami, we know that there is still no Tua Tagovailoa throwing the football around for the Miami Dolphins. And so Tyler Huntley is out there in action. And so we have what is a field goal-a-thon in Miami right now. Pretty ironic that Will Levis is not available to play at this moment due to his shoulder issue and shoulder injury. And Will Levis earlier today, he says, you know what? I know we're 0-3. He's talking about the Titans. But I ain't worried about it.
You can't go in like thinking like, oh, we have to win, we have to win. It's just we have to execute. We have to execute the game plan. And there's no situation that you're put in that really, unless it's, you know, end of the game, desperation time, where it is appropriate to stray from that game plan or stray from whatever job you have on those plays.
He's not even available to play right now. Standing on the sidelines. Tennessee Titans are trying to pick up their first victory of the season. The Miami Dolphins trying to avoid a 1-3 start. Tyler Huntley picking things up because Tua Tagovailoa went down. Picking things up because Skylar Thompson went down with that chest injury, those busted up ribs. Tyler Huntley says, yeah, I'm not a Raven anymore. I'm a Dolphin. It feels good to play at home.
That'd be amazing. That's just a child's dream, you know, being able to play for your home team, man. That's just something everybody don't get to come across. So it means everything in the world, but, you know, I'm just here to help the team win.
Okay. Head coach Mike McDaniel of the Dolphins, how do you feel about this guy starting tonight?
You can tell he's cut from the right cloth, and the game isn't too big for him, so very encouraged with his progression.
He is 5 of 8, 28 yards passing at this moment. Hickey, you feel good about that?
No. No, I do not.
Is anybody going to score a touchdown in this game?
I think we'll get one.
By
one
accident.
Combined. Exactly.
A turnover, something like that.
Turnover, maybe just an obvious missed tackle, and all of a sudden he's off to the races like a long long touchdown. But yeah, touchdowns will be very hard to come by in Miami tonight.
This is going to be ugly. 855-212-4227. It's 855-212-4227. I told you, meanwhile, we have another game going on. This one happens to be in Detroit, Michigan, downtown right now. The Lions are beating up on the Seahawks 14-0. The Seahawks have won 9 out of their last 10 meetings and 6 straight. And the Lions are not afraid at this point to run all over these Seahawks. David Montgomery with a 1-yard rush. Jahmyr Gibbs with another rush gives you that 14-0 score. Geno Smith is 6 of 8, 61 yards. And David Montgomery has 42 yards. Jahmyr Gibbs has 24. And I told you, each one of those guys has a touchdown of their own. Dan Campbell, he talked about this offense and what they could do. And Dan Campbell basically said, I got to give credit to Geno Smith, but we're going to try to shut him down.
He can see what the defense is doing, get the best play available, calm, cool, collective. And as the game goes on, the longer you keep them in it, let them play with their rhythm, man. Geno's going to find it.
Yeah, well, they've been shutting down Geno. Aiden Hutchinson, already one of the best defensive players in the entire NFL, he talked about how they could blank the Seahawks offense, and damn it, they've done it so far.
The emphasis is we're gonna try to carry the load this week. You know, it all starts in stopping the run first and then rushing the passer. So, yeah, I mean, it's a lot. I mean, we just got to execute our game plan, and I think we'll be good.
Yeah, it looks like their game plan is currently winning out. DK Metcalf, one of the more physical specimens, one of the more physical wide receivers and players in the entire league. He said the Lions defense, oh, yeah, they're going to try to whoop us.
I think the one thing that sticks out, even when watching film this year, is just how hard they play. Everybody's running to the ball. Their offense plays hard. They're always trying to get the ball in their playmakers' hands. And they are loaded with talent on both sides of the ball.
And he ain't lying. And right now the Lions are trying to continue burying them. The Lions lead Seattle 14-0. Seattle trying to put some type of points up on the board. 855-212-4227. Chris is calling from California. You're on the JR Sport Brief Show.
Hey, JR, how you doing, man? You always brighten up my day. Thanks for mentioning all the scores, because I wasn't up to date. Thanks, man. I want to say something about the Miracle Mets, if I could.
You got a limited time. Go ahead, quickly.
I think the Mets, you know, they slide in there, you know, once every 10 years or so. I'm giving them a shot. Even if they play Ohtani, I'm giving them an outside shot, man. That's all I got.
Okay. Thank you, Chris, for calling from California. No problem. Wow, he's giving them an outside shot to win the World Series. Oh, man. Good. Hickey, after the New York Yankees, I'll root for the Mets.
Okay. I mean, maybe one day we'll flip that, but okay. Number two is better than three.
No. Maybe one day we'll flip that.
Maybe. If we work long enough.
If they meet in the World Series again, you think I'm going to root for the Mets?
Not this year, but I think maybe after an extended amount of time, maybe I'll root for my happiness one day, which would be rooting for the Mets.
I root for you. Let somebody else win. The Colts, the Mets, if the Yankees aren't in, anybody else? Not this year, though. Not this year. I'll root for them until they take on the Yankees. Maybe, if they get there. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on the Infinity Sports Network. We'll give you an update on more of the scores on the other side. Talk some NBA Media Day. Talk about some more football. We got a lot to do before we roll out. It's the JR Sport Brief Show, coast to coast, the Infinity Sports Network. Don't move.